you, Richard.
Hello. Welcome to the Beercast. This is a normal episode. And today we're doing American beers. We've had lots of beers from all over the world in the past history of the Beercast, but only one from America, which actually was our highest scoring beer for a long time. But we've got four which might replace it. We'll have to see. With me on the panel is Shovels. Hello, Shovels. How are you?
Hello, Richard. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
Good.
And we also have Mr. B. Hello, Mr. B. Craig.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. And Grant.
Hello, how are you?
I was asking people out there, I wasn't asking you.
As everyone knows now, I'm very well, thank you. So we've got four American beers. We're going to start off with a beer, which I think some of us have had, but I've never had this before. Looking forward to trying it. No, no.
Excellent. Well,
it's very exciting.
Someone can get on with opening it.
Yep. Craig and I have had this one before.
Yes.
And it is Craig.
Eager anticipation. Ooh, it is Liberty Ale from the Anchor Brewery in San Francisco.
San Francisco, yes.
So, yeah, we've had beer from the Anchor Brewery before, which was the only American beer that we've had so far. And that was the seasonal ale from 2006, which is last year's beer of the year.
It was.
Get that down yet?
Thank
Craig's
you.
Diligently pouring. I'll pass over stats duties to Richard.
It does smell quite nice. Yeah, American brewing, clearly they dominate the global brewing market, and it's very easy over here to find very bad American beer. Your standard kind of Budweiser's, Miller's, Coors, etc.
Sorry, I'm going for a tour of the Coors Brewery.
That's right. But it's quite hard to find really good, what they call craft beer. And there's so many good American breweries. But obviously, being in the UK, we're kind of restricted somewhat. But we managed to find four pretty good beers. And this is...
Craig has managed to pour himself the biggest American beer.
It's a different size glass.
Poorest choice. Poorest choice.
Thin. Way.
These are all marked with half pint measures. So this is Anchor Liberty Ale, Anchor Brewing Company in San Francisco. They're a well-known feature there. Started life in 1896 under two German immigrants. And they went from strength to strength. Had some setbacks on the way when the brewery, not least, was destroyed in the earthquake in 1906. But they managed to survive that, and in 1965, they were saved from closure by a man called Fritz Maytag, and he really helped the brewery get on. And they produced a range of beers, and I'm going to be quiet now because they're all drinking the beer.
I've never tasted this.
We're maybe building it up a bit because Craig and I have both had it and like it. I'm a big fan of the Anchor Brewery. I'm slightly biased. I think it needs to warm up a little bit. It's a bit cold at the moment.
Very nice.
It's virtually handmade. Does that mean it's made using computers? Or is it almost handmade?
How do you hand make a beer?
How do you virtually hand make a beer?
Well, hopefully you make a beer by just getting in there and grafting, making the wort or whatever it's called.
Wort.
When was Liberty Ale first produced, Paul?
Contrary to my earlier reading skills, which was when I read 18th of April and thought, 18th century. No, it's the 18th of April, 1975, and it was to celebrate the 200th anniversary of Paul Revere's historic ride, which was...
Who's Paul
Someone
Revere?
Please tell me who the hell this man is.
He rode across America with beer.
That's it.
Yeah, no, he didn't. It was during the War of Independence.
War of Independence.
And he rode through Boston to tell the Bostonians that the evil British were coming. And to get ready for fighting.
Right.
And the British are coming, that's what he said.
He could have just said a letter.
Well, what's the old days?
Ye olde time.
It's taken 3 weeks.
I didn't have heard of email.
So he texted.
It was the 18th century.
The 18th of April, 1975, it says here.
The other guy.
Paul Revere, 1975. And we didn't have email, but it's a fax or something.
He did. He wrote through to one about the disco. The disco was coming.
Disco's coming. Beware, disco is coming. Closely followed by punk, or the other way around. Can't remember.
You're right.
Other way around, surely. Mm-hmm.
There's anyway. Actually, we were talking the other day about Bill Bryson, the author, and his books. Shovels having pretending to read his book about Shakespeare when we're on holiday.
What do you have in the middle? Was it
jokes?
Jokes. A travel edition of jokes.
He didn't have actual jokes in the middle.
He brought his own jokes.
I wonder why he was grouping them. Like,
random earthenware.
But in one of his books about America, he wrote a piece about Paul Revere. Apparently, Paul Revere was only one of a number of riders who actually did that. And a few of them were caught and killed on the way by militia or British or whatever. And it was only Paul Revere that was kind of stamped into the conscious of America. Apparently he wasn't the only one. As these things always happen, it's always something else going on in the background. And apparently it says it has a special top fermenting yeast to give subtle flavours. Are you getting any subtle flavours?
It's not subtle.
It's quite strong.
Yeah, it's quite strong. Yeah. It's 5.9%.
Top of the mouth.
Oh, don't get him started.
I haven't even thought about that yet.
Oh, see, look.
He was happily sitting there. I'm back on the mouth chart.
He has his own mouth. He can determine where he's getting the taste from.
I'll tell you what's happening in my own mouth.
Oh, just don't get him started.
Yeah, and around the edge of the tongue for me as well.
It could be the dry hopping and the champagne-like bubbles.
It is very bubbly. It retains its head very well.
Anchor beer is very hard to read the label because the label is either side of an anchor, so you have to keep skipping backwards and forwards to read the whole story.
With this one, though. No, you don't on this one.
Oh, it goes down?
It goes down. Yeah, there's some other ones, they did that. Yeah, you're right.
So the other way you started reading it, you thought, this makes no sense.
Oh, well, I'll cancel my email to the brewery then.
Yeah. You can stop your embargo.
Yeah, but we haven't really talked about the beer's taste much, really.
No.
So Grant's getting some top-of-the-mouth taste, which we still don't know what those different locations in the mouth means.
No, it's really nice. There's
quite a big alcohol smell to it.
Mm. I'm getting a very in-mouth taste.
Okay, it's the in-the-mouth, yes.
Yeah.
It lingers as well.
Really good. Mm. Very robust.
I think with all the anchor beers that I've had, it's very flavoursome. You know you're drinking either a strong beer or beer with character anyway.
It's not nothing
insipid about it.
No, it's not.
It's not nicely cloudy.
Yeah.
I don't really review
anchor beers with words as so much as swelling. Is generally what I use for good beer. I'm swelling quite well.
Really, really. Where's that tumbleweed?
Quite in the heart of all that. But I'm glad I'm not sitting next to you. That's the main thing. It does taste a bit strong. It tastes like something. It's one of these beers that I taste like I've had something before, but I can't remember what it is.
I know what you mean. My first taste was almost Belgian beer.
I would say it's 5.9%. I would say it is strong, but it's not overpoweringly alcohol-y, I would say. It's not subtle.
How does this differ to Anchor Steam?
Anchor Steam's more of a pale ale, so it's not as strong to start with.
Right.
And it's not as hoppy.
Oh, okay.
I would say. It's obviously one of my favourite beers, as most people know around this table, but it's different to this. It's more of a beer you can drink more of, that session ale-y thing, session beer. But this is a stronger ale-y, almost strong IPA-like taste, which is maybe why Craig likes it.
Is that the swelling?
That was the swelling. Excuse me.
That's Craig's belly kind of squeaking.
So Anchor don't do an IPA, but they do this in its place. Is that what you're saying?
IPA
is more to steam, is it not?
No, it seems
closer to an IPA. It's got more of the hop in it.
Maybe, definitely.
Maybe.
Very tasty.
I'm waiting for an opinion from Richard. You've not got one yet.
I think Craig and I have been so excited about drinking it that maybe he's withholding.
No. I'm my own man, make my own decisions. Apart from whatever Craig says, of course, I'll follow to the letter. But I'm not swelling quite as much as Craig.
We should compare.
Between them.
that's for the X-rated edition later on.
Yeah, later on. Again, it's that, as I said before, the problem I have with these beers that you think it tastes like a beer you've had before but can't quite say what it is. It pulls the score down for the beer you're having at the moment because it kind of loses a bit by its association.
Is it quite Double Century?
No, there's more taste to it than Double Century.
Double Century is more bittery, isn't it?
It's got that bitter. I don't know why I do this pan. I just taste beer. It tastes good or bad.
It's kind of on or off. That's
it's a decimal system.
I am a binary system. No, yeah. Binary, that's where I am. Good, bad. It tastes like good beer.
Therefore, it gets 12.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm kind of torn. It does taste a bit hoppy and it tastes a bit... You got that alcohol-y taste in there, but... I don't know. It's interesting. Mm. Again, I've had Ankerstein before, but only sort of two or three times, so I wouldn't really know how this compares to that, but...
I think if you were to have them side by side, you would know that you'd taste the difference.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Obviously,
two completely different beers, really. This having the hops, the other one having the malty slash and pale ale-y bit.
As all our regular listener knows, did you when you
quite good for you.
When nice. You lived in Peggy. It took me hours to write my carefully this one.
Oh, you're reading for a script. So
they think I have beer information on my thing, but it's just carefully written ad libs that I read. When you lived in San Francisco, did you have lots of this? Was it available throughout the city on tap or
no, Ankerstein was on tap, and I have to say Ankerstein on tap is, it's a beer to be had. It's like Dark Island is much better on tap than it is being distracted by a lady outside.
Recycling, that's good.
She was running.
She was running, yeah.
Was she? Anyway, what were we talking about?
Alison doesn't
beer. Must be something to do with beer.
General beer nonsense.
General beer.
Yeah, we're recording this in my flat, which looks out onto a busy street, so pardon us if we get distracted. And of course, you can hear cars probably going back in the background.
See, this being the summer as well, it's extremely light until about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which is always good.
Oh, yes, we're recording this at the start of June, so I don't know when this will go out.
Happy June.
Happy August, June. Whenever this goes. happy 2010.
San Francisco beer, yeah.
Saw more of the Ankerstein than I saw of this. I think Ankerstein was ubiquitous in bars around there. But so many other great beers in San Francisco, on the west coast of America.
Yeah, west coast of the US, great for beers.
Great stuff.
But they don't export much.
The good beer guide to a special west coast USA edition.
Yeah, really good.
There's other good breweries that we have never heard of here, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Microbrewing is...
Well, this is the problem with finding good American beer over here, is that, forgetting all the nonsense with Budweiser and all the Coors, when you find the good American breweries, it's going to be Anchor, it's going to be Sierra Nevada, and it's going to be Goose Island, and that's about it, unless you find some really lucky places. Like, we got all these beers in York, and we'll talk about that a bit more later, maybe.
If we can remember what the place is called.
It's called The Bottle.
The Bottle.
It says on the
on the bottle.
The Bottle in York, I can't remember the street, but it's in
Stonegate.
Yeah, that's right. So we struck gold with that place and got some good American beers.
I think a lot of them don't export that far outside the US. I found a few in Canada when I was there, only the West Coast. I don't think the East Coast you'd find anything.
Can't remember, don't remember looking East Coast Canada.
Right, shall we score?
Anyway,
shall
we sum up? We have spent a while on this one. Who's going to start?
Should we start with Craig and he can score it in girth?
How many inches?
I think you may have to come back to me, actually.
What?
All right. Ooh. All right, I'll go then.
It's a one or a...
It's a one
it's
or
a one
ten.
He's going to flip a coin.
I have to admit that last time I had this was, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 months ago. And it was so good. And I think I've just had so many more beers since then that are better than this. Similar, but better. So where previously I thought it was amazing, I think I'm going to give this one a 7.5 because it's good, but not as great as some of the others that we've had since that are similar.
Okay, very good. Right.
I really like this, actually. I think it's strong flavour, hops, but not overpowering hops. I'd say 8.5.
An 8.5 from Grant?
Very good. I'm going to give this a 6 because it's just not won me over yet. I mean, it may well do in the future, but this is the first time I've ever had it. It just tastes a little bit too alcoholy for me. And obviously, the beers we're going to have later on are going to have even more alcohol in them. But yeah, I don't know. It's just not really drawing me in as much as I think it should. So I'm going to give it a 6. But I'll obviously have to have it again and see if that rises in the future. Speaking of rising.
No, I think I feel exactly the same as Paul for once in my life. I'd say in agreement.
Bloody hell.
And yeah, when I did drink this over Christmas, I thought it was the best thing I've ever had. It's possibly not now, but I'm not going to mark it down that much. I think it's a definite 8.5. It's still an amazing beer. But yeah, a little bit depressed that it's gone down. It was going to be a 10 before I even had it.
It could have been the mystical first ever Bakehouse 10.
Yeah. But hopefully that will come in this later on.
Once to come.
We haven't done tenants yet, so obviously we'll have to... Once we do tenants, that'll be 10.
Yeah.
Okay,
are
what
you
was
giving
that?
People the impression I like tenants?
No, McKinney's export.
Absolutely.
Well, there is that website.
That was our first beer, Anchor Liberty Ale, 5.9%. And I haven't written down the scores, so we'll have to write them down. And we'll come back in a moment with beer 2, which is an IPA.
Indeed.
Ooh.
It's almost in harmony.
So we want some bread with this, do we?
There's bread in it, possibly.
Who's got a spread?
Okay, you just joined us a few seconds after our last beer, but there's been some
considerable
minutes of
debate.
Frantic debate. We've got our second beer, which is Titan IPA from the Great Divide Brewery in Denver, Colorado. And it's got bits in it, but we haven't even opened it yet.
Not
so.
Just bits, but
no,
big
just,
bits.
Yeah, big, huge, chunky bits.
Chunky bits of breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Breadcrumbs.
We think it might be off, but we're going to try it anyway.
We can't work out if it's...
If someone could tell us what the 1 to 5...
Yeah.
Means on the best before date label, then.
Peculiar.
Crazy American systems.
Right.
I'll join you in the pouring on this one.
It smells bready. Right. How can I tip it? So, all right, I'll go first.
Inevitably, we're going to get.
This is my glass.
Some kind of bready product.
So, Great Divide, we're opened in.
That's me.
1994 in the centre of Denver.
Damn.
Oh, jeez. It smells like bread.
Bread, yeah. It does smell like bread.
I don't mind bits.
Oh, here you go. Here's the chunks.
Oh, here we go.
It's only fair that I get some chunks as well.
Do I get a knife and fork?
There you go. I don't want some chunks.
Oh, look at that.
There's a little bit there if anyone wants some chunkiness.
Yeah, I've got chunks.
This looks like a snow globe.
Mine's is
a. I remember someone getting a chunky wheat beer at one point.
Great head on.
So, Great Divide were opened in 1994 in the centre of Denver by a man called Brian Dunn, who saw a gap in the market for a new brewery in a thirsty outdoor city. They've won 12 Great American Beer Festival medals, the first only 3 months after they brewed their first beer.
It
looks like they should be little snowmen.
Or a little picture of a little city of Denver.
Right, that's amazing.
Denver in the winter.
Got the Rocky Mountains like going on.
Nice and rich.
They produce 13 different beers. Over half of them are self-styled big beers. What they call big beers? Imperial stouts, barley wines, double IPAs. This certainly looks like a big beer to me.
Well, it's
big
only called an IPA, not a double IPA.
So what do we think? People have had some yet to... I got it. I'm holding up to Grant and I can't see him through it.
And they're all bits in it.
You've definitely got the worst of it.
Yeah, I did that right.
I'm pouring next to him. It smells like...
Bread?
It smells like bread.
You know, I made bread the other day. It smells like the in-betweeny bit when the yeast is doing its business.
It does.
As strong as you remember?
That'll be the yeast.
Did we try this in York?
Yes, I had a bottle of this in York at Coco's International Bar, and it was fantastic.
I really liked it, but I had another bottle of something similar, didn't I?
I think this beer's off.
I don't think it is. It tastes like that in York.
It did taste like that. It tastes the same.
But I had a bottle of something very similar that I thought I had in my head that it was better.
Right.
And it was this kind of bottle. It was an IPA, very strong. It was the one with the crazy dog on it.
A horrible picture on it.
The author.
The dog one. No, the Hunter S. Thompson thing. Mm.
That's what I had in my head, but this isn't it.
No.
Yeah, I had that one in my head as well.
But this is it's tasty. It's very strong.
It's very strong.
It's only 6.8. It's not like it's the...
Very strong tasting.
Imperial. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Alcohol-wise, yeah. Anyway, shall I read you what they say about it?
Yeah, go for it.
Brewed for Hop Disciples, this is an aggressively hopped India Pale Ale. Starting off with piney hop aromas, finishing with a rich malty sweetness balanced with the crisp hop bitterness.
A distinct lack of bread there.
No bread.
I noticed.
The Rocky Mountain Brewing News described this as being like ruby red grapefruit juice with touches of orange zest, backed by a bracing minerally bitterness. Finishing with a caramel sweet zing.
Who writes that crap?
No, wait, I'm with them a bit when it comes to the grapefruit zing.
Craig from the beer cast said, it tastes like bread.
that's much more to the point. Simple, layman terms. Tastes like bread.
I get what they're saying.
But I can get the grapefruit thing.
Well, the bitter thing you can get, yeah.
It just tastes so... alcoholy. We had the brew dog. What was it? Imperial.
Yeah. Hardcore IPA.
Hardcore IPA, and that had more alcohol in it, but didn't taste as strong alcohol wise as this. In my opinion,
no, I think it did.
I think it's pretty horrible, actually.
I like it. Binary mode on.
Yeah, I think I'm in a unique position here because I have had this before. When we were in York, I had a bottle of this. And it was really nice.
Are you sure it's not off? I think it might be off.
No. I don't know, though. I mean, how do you tell? How do you tell each other's looking at that?
It's sure. It can't. Your beer shouldn't look like that.
Mine's doesn't.
Mine's not as bad.
Yeah, but mine isn't the worst. Is
well, you've had it before, Richard.
Mm.
Does it taste like it did before?
It does, actually. It does. It tastes a little bit stronger because of all the things floating in it. But yeah, it does. Clearly, it was nicer last time.
We'd had beers before that, though.
And to be fair, the taste I had of yours when you had it in that bar, it does taste like that. And I remember not being a fan of it then, and I don't think I'm a fan of it now.
Mm.
Well, I like beer, I like bread.
you're a fan of big beers, eh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know whether it's off. It's maybe just a little bit stronger, if that is possible.
So, if you like it, are you getting the orange zest? The minerally bitterness or the caramel sweet zing?
Actually,
it's definitely bitter.
Actually, there's a...
It just tastes of alcohol.
Back taste I get off the one of the Christmas Anchor.
Yeah.
It has kind of a orangey.
Can I taste yours?
Was the
yeah, I think you should.
It has an orangey kind of one of the Anchor beers, Christmas beer. It might have been the 08 one or the 07 one. Sorry.
07.
That was very orangey.
No, it's not, but something is ticking over.
See, the one without stuff in it is a lot smoother.
Yeah. This week. All right, okay. Let's try.
Do you want to...
Yeah,
we're swapping beers here, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, gentlemen.
We are friends.
All one of you.
Yeah.
Smoother. It is smoother, yeah.
Unsurprisingly, the one without the bits in is smoother.
It's better.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. I think we should all vote on the bottom half of the beer, the top half of the beer.
But it well, I mean,
do we mark down the bottle for selling us off beer, or is it supposed to be like, or do you only pour out?
Did we buy it on beer, off beer, on beer, indeed?
No, we did. Reading this correctly.
If we're reading it correctly, it should be best before.
Oh no, maybe not. Actually, we bought this in March 08. No, it's March. It's the 3/08, which is before March 08. Which is when we were in York, so...
But we were there at the end of March.
Yeah. So it didn't give us much chance, really, did it?
No, you'd have to drink it on the spot.
Yeah, I don't know what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mean.
They're numbers.
If anybody's listening to this and they know how the best before notches are put on the side of beer labels in America, clutching at straws, maybe, but we have on this beer, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... And then the next section is 1, 2, 3, 3 to 12, obviously the months. And then the final section is 07, 08, 09, which is the years, obviously. But what are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? What's a breakup of months? Is it weeks?
It's weeks.
Is it?
Is it weeks?
Is it the 5th week? No, what?
I suppose some months have 5 weeks, don't they?
Yeah.
They get paid in 5 8 months, which is 9. So this is the first week of the 3rd month, 2008. Yeah,
of course.
Well, either way, it's off.
Because normal off that would have...
He has a point.
...the 13th of March 08. This just says the first week in March.
So we're now in the second week of the 6 month 08.
Yeah, it's 3 months out of date.
I don't think it's fair to score it.
But then, I think it tastes exactly the same.
But I've had this before.
Is that good or bad? This is
great. Well, I liked it the first time. I like it now. I don't... Love it. Like a lady.
Please don't do that again.
You can hear a band from this and pick it up.
With your swelling and your love. With your love swell.
I do like on the label it says Great Minds Drink Alike.
Nah.
And also it's got a picture of Ellie.
Oh, yeah.
The heavily pregnant woman.
Oh, we talked about that.
Just like Craig's baby.
It does get better the more you have of it.
No, I think your taste buds just get battered and disappear.
That's it. I think it probably is.
Killed.
The alcohol knocks out lots of taste receptors and you're just left with a few.
As you take more, it doesn't seem to be so offensive.
Where does this figure on the mouth chart?
I'm tired of the mouth chart.
Oh, no,
the mouth chart.
Craig's just ridiculing it.
Say it,
just ignore him.
He ridicules everything.
I only ridicule it just to, because it's stupid.
Where is this register on the mouth chart? I'm just, it's kind of the
top.
I think it's back that I'm getting. Is it like it's back at the top of the mouth?
I don't know.
And then in the middle of the tongue.
Do we know what Denver is called?
Denver. Clues in the question, surely.
The nickname for Denver.
Oh,
I don't know.
Den.
The mining
state. No, Mile High Stuff.
Mile High Stuff, yeah.
The Mile High Stuff.
The Mile High City, yeah.
No, city stuff.
Because it's exactly a mile above sea level, apparently.
All right.
I've got relatives in Denver.
I've been there, it's very nice.
See, when you play baseball there, does the thinness of the air have an effect on the ball?
Yes.
Yes, it does. It goes further.
If I can go into American football geek mode, the NFL record for longest field goal is held in Denver because it's thin air, they can kick it further.
There you go.
Yep.
It's the 26th most popular city in the USA. It was founded in November 1858 during the Gold Rush by a land speculator from Kansas. who named it after his state governor, James W. Denver. But ironically, by the time he got there, he was in the wild for so long he didn't know the governor had left. So he wasn't the governor anymore. He probably saw some tumbleweed while he was there.
If it's the 26th best city,
most populous. Yes.
All right. So most
popular. Oh, I thought it was most popular.
Populous.
Yeah, right, okay.
Most popular.
Popular? How did he choose popularity? All right. How big is it?
This is getting better the more I have of it.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Some more then. I've not been drinking at all. Craig, you finished yours?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, good.
Bits and all.
I didn't have any bits.
Of course, you poured.
I poured.
You want some of mine?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be so nasty.
Score it now, bitch. I've just poured the Drake's
you can't
into Craig's
see.
Glass.
You can't even see. It's just a solid lump.
It's like Lakeham Terrace soup in a glass.
It's like tea.
Good head, though.
Should the froth be like that? It's coming over the sides.
So is the froth.
Yeah.
Now it reminds me of something. The more I have of it, the more it's reminding me of something else.
I've got some major hops there and whatever bit that was I drank.
It might be like those packets of crisps that you two are obsessed with. No, I don't like
Space Raiders.
Where you get none of them taste of anything apart from one at the bottom that's got all the flavour on it that melts your face.
Yeah.
Are we going to score it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. Might as well.
Yeah, I've had this before so I can score it on previous tastings. And Paul's right, it does taste better than what you have.
I think because it loses that initial alcohol taste where you can't taste anything.
Yeah.
And then all these other flavours come out.
Yeah.
You can feel the crumbs in your mouth when you drink that one.
Yeah.
How's that one score?
It's all right. I like bread. Next time I'm just going to get something I really like and just put some bread in it and see what it tastes.
You can do a bread.
When I do the comments on the post for each podcast for yours, I'm just going to put a taste of bread. Because
not with any, preserves or anything.
No, just plain bread.
Just plain
bread on its own.
Tastes a bit like Joker, that's it. The Williams Brothers Joker, but not as... I think Joker's not as strong or as flavoursome.
Joker's like 4.5.
Well, it's definitely not as strong. But...
Yeah, it's much stronger with the chunks in it.
Right then, Grant, let's start some scoring off.
I don't like it. I think it smells of bread. It tastes horrible. Well, no, it's just it tastes better, and I had bits in mine, and it gets 4, and see you later.
Come back, Grant.
And it's only the 26th most popular city, so suke it.
Suke it.
Suke it daft.
I'm going to give it a 5, because it's pretty awful.
And he's had the nice one as well.
Yeah. No, this is now. I mean, I have had it before, and it would have been a bit nicer. But yeah,
I mean, it's one of those beers that's really strong, but it's just kind of it's just strong. But what's the point? And it just doesn't taste nice. It's rubbish.
I'm getting on a soapbox here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Craig.
Well, I like bread. I like beer. Hence, I like bread beer. So 7.
7. I think towards the end there, I think it tasted great. I think the alcohol content must have disappeared from this one. So it would be worth an 8 for that. But because of the bad taste at the start, that's a 5. So the average of those is work it out in your own head.
Not 6 that point. Great.
I'm going to give it a 6.5.
6.5. Very good. Okay, that was a great Divides Titan IPA, which divided
certainly
opinions.
Divided.
And
the
did you write the scores down from the previous one?
No, but I'll do that on the break.
I remember them, sorry.
Okay, well, that's the end of our hoppy IPA beers, Craig. We're now moving on to winter beers. Hooray! Perfect for June.
Yay.
And we will see you back in a moment, hopefully with a beer that doesn't look like drinking a snow globe.
And it's hopefully in date.
In date, hopefully. I think this one is, yeah. Well, okay, what more would you want on a sunny, warm June afternoon than a winter warmer? And that's what we've got next. This is Harpoon Winter Warmer from the Harpoon Brewery in Boston, said to be New England's largest craft brewery.
Mm.
New England.
New England.
This is a rich ale that uses a touch of cinnamon and nutmeg to achieve its spirited flavour.
We did buy this when it was snowing.
It was snowing. We bought this in York in April. It's now June. This one is in date, I'm pleased to know. It's not off, we hope.
It smells of cinnamon and nutmeg. You'd be pleased to know.
Oh, it's a nice dark colour. The Harpoon Brewery were established in 1986 by three men, one of whom wrote a business plan for a brewery while at Harvard Business School. They expanded this in the late 1990s. And in 2002, imported a state-of-the-art brew house from Germany, which they shipped over. They produced four regular beers, plus a Hefeweizen, which they called UFO, for unfiltered offering.
Excuse me?
Where's the yeast coming back from the last one? The Winter Warmer is their first seasonal beer, designed to be enjoyed during the holiday season. So, happy holidays.
Happy June again, everybody. Yeah.
Happy June. Wow, that smells completely different.
It smells
hot. It smells like those winter mix sweets here. They're just cloves.
Yeah.
Sports mixture, yeah.
Yeah.
It smells sports about. Mixture. Sports mixture, jelly, fruit sweet.
Yeah, with licorice ones in the smell.
It smells like winter mix.
It smells like...
those clove sweets.
Like Christmas pudding.
That's close. I know what you mean, yeah.
It smells of cloves.
Cloves, yes. Cloves.
You're obviously not a sweet aficionado.
No.
Mr. Taylor.
No.
Or a beer one, either.
It's all a charade, the whole thing. Charade. I can't even say it. Charade.
I'm a bit apprehensive about trying this.
It's slightly underwhelming after the last beer.
It smells extremely nutmeggy. Like it's the nutmeg that really cuts through in the smell.
Mm.
It's I'm not, thinking of an animal beginning with Y.
It's not doing well on the first taste.
Oh, dearie me.
Second taste? Any better?
When you bring the glass of this to your lips, you will first notice the aroma of cinnamon. There is no aromatic hop added that might overpower the distinct spicy scent. The medium body of this beer is formed from a caramel and pale malt, which create enough body to support the spices without making this excessively rich.
No, I disagree. It doesn't provide it with enough body at all.
There's no body to this at all. It's got a lovely spicy thing that you get in the back.
Yeah.
And it's spicy. The rest, nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
It totally misjudges beer. You need to be stronger, more robust to cope with the spices.
Yeah, who cares about the smell?
Let's keep going so Richard can't say anything.
he's dying to see the next bit.
The Incredible Hulk, come on!
The finish of the beer is a blend of cinnamon and nutmeg. The combination of these two spices results in a balanced pumpkin pie flavour.
Oh, dear.
I don't know. I think I can get the pumpkin pie.
No, I agree, really? But pumpkin pie is horrible, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, carry on, Rich.
The overall character is one of Tennant Super. It's a smooth, medium bodied ale spiced with cinnamon and nutmeg.
That was enjoyable.
That was good.
Better than the beer, anyway.
That's the longest paragraph I've ever read.
Has anyone got a beat machine?
I do, thankfully, yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Smooth, medium bodied, anybody?
I think this is brewed for the American audience.
It tastes like. Yeah, it's like that American lager that doesn't taste of anything. That just kind of watery. Uh-huh.
Yeah, with cinnamon.
But with cinnamon and nutmeg. Yeah, so I mean, it's just like any generic. You know, Budweiser just tastes of fizzy water.
This is why Americans drink shots with their beers. All the American beer drinking I know from The Wire and Homicide, they always drink shots.
Yeah, they do.
Also, because they're crazy alcoholics, isn't it?
Well, that's the other reason.
True.
It's just like someone's got those clovey sweets,
put them in some water,
and then left them to sit there for a few days.
It's not unpleasant. It just doesn't taste of anything.
It's not, but I think the beer itself just doesn't support the spices at all.
Should we go through this? Dark copper ale? Yes.
Check.
Yep, check.
Aroma of cinnamon?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. sweetness of malt and spice. Is it sweet?
Yeah, it's sweet. Quite sweet.
Yeah.
The finish is a blend of nutmeg.
Cheers.
Combination results in a pumpkin pie flavour.
Yes,
yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's it.
Well, it
doesn't mean it's good.
Wait, still sucks.
All right. Does it say it's made with Budweiser or anything? No.
Oh no, Harpoon. They're a small craft brewery. Don't be using anything else.
No, I think
see, they could have a proper, really good ale there if they just used.
I'm sure they do.
A better base for the
beer. It's 5.5% as well. It's not a weak beer, but they somehow they haven't managed to get the punch of the alcohol through enough. Which is what they really needed to do to compete with the spices.
I mean, they produce 4 or 5 regular beers. This is their first seasonal beer.
Yeah.
But how is this? Oh, okay, well, let's throw one out there. Let's throw you a curveball, as the Americans say, in their whatever they do, throw curveballs at baseball.
Baseball is the one.
How does this compare to the Anchor winter beers?
No.
Go.
Doesn't.
No,
yeah, that noise.
It's got some of the taste with none of the substance.
The Anchor, what about the 2007 Anchor beer we tried in our.
It's closer to
beer
that
of the year, shall we?
But without
it did. No, it's not even closer than that at all.
It is closer. It's got that because the 2007 one was much more cinnamon, nutmeggy, and orange.
Yeah, but you wouldn't.
The other one was more porty and
it was very clovey, wasn't it?
They did manage to blend those flavors with robust
other things,
alcohol beer flavor, which was we said at the time it was remarkable how they managed to do that.
Yep.
Whereas these guys have not quite managed it.
I suppose that shows. All this beer shows is how remarkable the Anchor Christmas special beers are.
True.
And not how good this beer is.
Absolutely right.
Pumpkin pie, though. I've not had pumpkin pie mentioned on a beer before.
I haven't had pumpkin pie since I made it.
It does
in
smell
primary school.
Like pumpkin pie. That's the
cinnamon on top of it.
Yeah. Americans just put cinnamon, everything, crazy cinnamon, pumpkin pie, it tastes horrible.
I don't think we've ever heard Grant rant so much in one.
No, the organic beer was ranting. That was
yeah.
I really like the first beer.
Last time I had pumpkin pie was in New Hampshire when I was with.
Yeah,
it sucked.
It does taste like this beer. It smells and of a lot and tastes of not that much.
Because you get the cinnamon up front and then the pumpkiny at the end.
Yeah.
I think this beer is very much for the American palate.
But is it a case that we're drinking this in the middle of June and it's the wrong time of year?
No.
Nah.
In fact, I think it's better drinking this now because it's watery.
Yeah, it is watery. No,
it's not.
It's drinking pop.
Remember that winter beer we had which had the rubbish label and it was really strong?
Oh, the Belgian one.
We actually quite liked it because it was a warming kind of beer and it had the alcohol in this to kind of back up the flavour. That's what this probably needs.
So we're implying that all winter beers need to be strong in alcohol and dark.
If they're going to use strong strong spices, I think they need. You can't have a weaker beer behind it.
Yeah.
Anyway, is it
time to score this beer? Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
All right, Grant, we've got to start with you because you've been the most. most bile filled.
I'm sorry. It's just.
I'm going to give it a 4 because there are worse beers out there, but this isn't great.
I'm going to give it a 4 as well. It's got that nice spicy taste, but it's got that horrible taste of cheap American lager or like Red Stripe or something. No, that's American, but that kind of crap generic lager taste to me. It's just water, rubbish. 4.
Yeah, I've written down a 5, but I'm 4.
No, you can give it a 5. No, don't be swayed.
Don't be swayed by our bile.
It's just odd, isn't it? It's like, I would give this a 4 now, but I think if I did have this, even though what we've been saying about it wouldn't be as nice at Christmas, I think still think it would in the winter. It would be a bit nicer. It would warm up a bit, not much.
Every bit.
I think maybe there's a conception that when you have a winter beer, it should be thick and gloopy to kind of warm you up physically as well as with the taste, but. I still think this would miss the mark if you had it in winter.
Well, we tried that wheat beer, German wheat beer, that was Christmas Eve, and that got quite high marks.
We did, yeah.
It's not a dark, goopy beer.
But the main reason I don't... the Anchor beer, it tasted like cloves, as Grant said, more eloquently than me, but it had other things with it too. But this just tastes of cloves, and it's just not as nice.
I think it's just, it overpowers anything, yeah.
I'm sure they do lots of good beers. They have other beers. This is their seasonal beer, but yeah, it really doesn't cut it. So four for me.
Right.
That's it.
Okay,
that's,
so it sucks.
That's it.
In conclusion, it sucks.
But it doesn't have bits in it, so that's it. That's
well,
it.
It's an advantage.
It's
yeah.
a bonus.
Give him an extra mark for that. Okay, we're going to move on now to our final beer, which is a porter. Yeah, go. Beer four.
Beer four. Right. This is Sierra Nevada Porter.
Boy,
it contains 12 fluid ounces.
Good.
Open and pour.
The last beer we had, the Harpoon Winter Warmer, was the third lowest. The third lowest scoring beer in BeerCast history.
Should be the worst ever.
Would you believe it?
It's good. Oh, no.
No, okay, no. Yeah, that's fair enough. No, I've tasted that other horrible one.
Yeah. Right, here we go.
It was a joint last with the Valhalla Island Bear that you brought back from Oakley.
No, I admit that was pretty poor.
And William Wallace, which was one of the first beers.
Oh, I need to mark that one down further.
Not quite as bad as Leafman's Creek beer, which was truly awful. And, of course, the Worcester Sauce beer, which was...
which was off.
And will forever be last.
No, that was actually on.
No, it was on, but off.
Just tastes like that.
I've actually tasted it since, and it is equally bad.
Anywho, this is Sierra Nevada Porter.
Yay.
Sierra Nevada must be one of the most familiar American breweries to British drinkers, you would think.
And best.
You got a bit of a lean on there, you want to might fall out, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
They started off in 1979 when a man by the name of Ken Grossman started up a brewery in Chico in California. He started off as a home brewer, then went on to study brewery at California State University.
Which is in Davis.
Is it?
It's one of the courses I looked at to do my brewing course.
Good stuff.
But it's too far away.
Yes.
Yeah, being in California.
After he graduated, he opened up a homebrew shop and then moved on and took the plunge, opening a brewery himself. On November the 5th, 1980, Sierra Nevada produced their first beer, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And now they have a huge capacity. Huge capacity.
Swelling.
Greg swelling.
How like in the porter? Is it good?
I haven't tried it.
I haven't tried it.
What does it smell of?
Porter.
Smells of porter. Taste of porter.
It does. Yeah,
it's not of overpowering porter, it has to be said. But
is it a coffee porter or a chocolate porter?
More of a coffee, I would say.
Yeah.
I think...
It's nice, though.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know, actually. Very sweet porter, isn't it? Very... something-y.
I'd say the coffee-ish.
Dark and rich. Sierra Nevada Porter is delicious with a medium-bodied, creamy head. The porter's smooth flavour, malty with a hint of caramel, the magic C-word, comes from a blend of deep-roasted barley malts, top-fermented using Munich chocolate and caramel malts with Golding and Williamette hops. No Fuggles, unfortunately.
Chocolate malt.
Chocolate malt, yep.
It's very smooth.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
That's what's confusing me, I think. It is quite coffee. It's very...
Is there a hint of caramel?
A bit of sweetness.
Just very sweet.
It's got caramel malts in here, that'll be it.
It's quite a strong one, 5.6.
It'd be interesting to compare this to other porters. Maybe we should just do a one type of beer cast. So like a porter cast.
Have you not done a porter cast?
No. We did a lager cast that didn't make the grade, amazingly. And we did an IPA, which obviously went out. Not done a porter cast yet.
See, I've missed a lot of the porters that you guys have done. You did a London porter, did you know?
No, it's very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Very nice.
No, we should maybe do a porter cast.
Just to...
Can we talk now maybe about Craig's very special porter?
Oh, yeah. Is that a port?
Well, I guess technically it's a porter. Dark Island is a porter.
Dark Island. Yes.
Go.
I have to talk about it.
I can drink, you talk. There you go.
Right.
Well, everyone's happy.
I want to drink. Hang on.
Craig has a very special beer.
Yes,
tell you about.
I bought it. It is a very limited edition of Dark Island in an incredibly large bottle. Oh, fancily corked. Number something of 1,400, isn't it? Specially handmade Dark Island. Was it not more than that? Was it 10%?
10.5%.
10% alcohol. Incredibly special. So we need to try that.
So it's like it's a bottle of wine.
Yeah,
it's a
bottle of wine. 75 cl, whatever it is. But it looks amazing. I made Dark Island, and Dark Island is one of the best beers. So yes, need to get everyone round to have a thimbleful of that, or I get wasted. And it cost £12.
Yeah, about ten times the price of a normal bottle of beer.
Even by wine standards, that's expensive.
That's pretty expensive. But,
but if it's nice, it's going to be worth it.
It just looked amazing. Now, hopefully you don't have to drink it all at once, because that could be a killer.
Well, if you have friends, then you might be able to get it.
Don't have friends.
No, that's,
you don't have friends who like beer?
It's a shame that...
Yeah. Clearly we won't do it for a podcast, but we might do a special...
Let me taste it first. If I don't like it, then I do.
Very good.
Anyway, what do you know about Chico Bull? You're a California expert.
He was an X Factor, wasn't he?
The only thing I know about Chico is that it's either South or North California. I can't remember.
So you don't know in the room.
And well, it's either one side or the other. It's either near Sacramento or not.
It's like your knowledge of the subject dwarfs ours.
I think it is near Sacramento.
Chico is the largest city in Butte County, California, north of the state capital, Sacramento.
Hey, and it's my fact that nobody else will understand apart from you is where that's where Heidi came from.
All right,
from university.
Oh yes,
yeah.
You won't understand that.
No, you won't. Sorry,
somebody. I get left out a lot today. What's happening?
In fact, you should just leave.
Yeah.
Founded by General John Bidwell in 1843, Chico was the site of one of the largest oak trees in the world, called the Hooker Oak, which collapsed in 1977.
I'm totally going to start my own baby cast in the
UK. Measuring 100 feet tall, 29 feet in circumference, it lay on the ground for 3 years as no one could decide what to do with it. Eventually it was cut up and found to be two trees, not one.
Scandal,
absolutely.
I thought we were talking about Craig Swelling for a minute.
100 feet tall.
Steady.
More a small sapling.
What's going on with the beer then?
Oh, yeah, beer, right, okay.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be informing the listeners of
beer. I've still got clumps of yeast in the bottom of my glass, by the way, stuck to the bottom.
Yeah, I thought I saw bits of mine as well.
A beer glass washer. That
was me.
It's possibly too sweet, this water.
It's a porter that is decent but overly sickly, perhaps.
My favourite porter no longer exists, unfortunately. But,
what's that?
Gothenburg.
Oh, yes.
Mm. That doesn't exist.
They closed down. Yeah. Stopped making beer.
It's big.
But it was the ideal porter to me because it was still quite light and slightly bitter and portery and not sweet.
Yeah.
And smoky. And this. It's just a bit too sweet, possibly. It's still very tasty, but...
You'd only probably have one of them, and then you'd think, I need to move on to something else.
I have been on nights out with porter all night, quite happily, if it's the right kind of porter, but...
That's crazy.
In winter, right? Problem is, because it has... I'm not reading this, but it has chocolate caramel malts, so you've got two quite sweet malts. Plus, you got the Golding's hops, and, well, I don't know what Williamette hops are, but I'm presuming they're not kind of dark hops. It is very, very kind of almost cloying.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
What was that word you said?
Cloying.
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 When something's sweet, it's kind of cloying in your mouth. You get that kind of. It means when the mouth shot is overridden.
See a little way.
He pretends he reads books, but he's
cloying.
Cloying.
Yeah.
I think you're educating me.
You learn something every day. There you go.
It's not really a word you would get in Junk's magazine.
Junk's were cloying.
I thought you said clawing.
Yeah, he did a bit of that.
Cloying. Interesting. I think it does take over the mouth.
I think some of these, I'm reacting badly to the American taste. I think the American taste, or the North American taste, is generally sweeter, perhaps, than European, after having been there for a bit.
American chocolate, for example, which is very sweet compared to British chocolate.
Yeah, I think they do have a sweet tooth over there. I found a lot of things are too sweet, and this is one of them.
Mm. But as a porter, it's quite nice. I mean, the porters we've had on the... Again, the difference between porters and stouts, we could go into that, but we had the meantime chocolate stout, which I have to mention every time we have some kind of dark chocolate / portery drink. But the London Porter, which is our highest ranked porter on the beer cast, was really nice. It wasn't as sweet as this.
No. Even the chocolate stout wasn't as sweet as this. It tasted the chocolate, but not
it's
sweet.
It's bitter chocolate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Chocolate beer from last...
Well, we had the...
Beer cast.
The meantime chocolate stout that tasted of chocolate, and then we had the Dale side chocolate stout that didn't taste of chocolate. Yeah.
But you'd expect that to be sweeter than just a normal porter.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Let's see if it says...
It's also a bit stronger at 5.6%.
The back of the label just says what's on the inside of the front label, because it doesn't have nothing on it.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale fan?
Yes.
Yes, huge.
Well, the listeners couldn't see then, was Richard was looking at me.
Yeah, but...
He doesn't matter.
It was to the room.
Yes, I am. But when we spent time in California, I think there are better out there. And I prefer Angostine. And there's other beers like Full Sail, which I don't even know if is from California. It might be Pacific Northwest, that one. So good that Sierra Nevada Pale Ale was... It was like the backup choice, something that was you knew would be good. But there was better out there. So yes, I do like it.
Thank you very much. I'll record that for future reference.
You could have just said yes.
You could have said yes. Yeah, your shovels.
You guys have been waffling all night. I thought I might have a go.
Mouth chop.
Disagree with Greg. Mouth chop.
Ooh, guitar solo. I'm looking at huge clumps of yeast in the bottom of my glass, Mr. Glasswash.
Listen, I
he scrubbed his hardest.
I didn't realise he was as ingrained as that.
Yeah, it's glued to the bottom of the glass. Well, my mic's taking off, so that sound tells us it's probably time to wrap up.
Okay then. Probably me to go first. I'm going to give it a 5 because it's all right. It's quite smooth, but it is a sweet smooth, and more than one of these, I think I'd be done. So it's not good. It's not bad. It's just all right. A 5.
Yeah. Speaking of sweet smooth, Craig.
Hey. Yeah, thank you.
Not bad.
I think it's incredibly smooth. It might be one of the smoothest drinking beers I've ever tasted.
A 5.6% too.
Yeah.
Impressive.
But it's just far too sweet. Not smoky enough. Not slightly bitter enough. It's a 5 for me as well.
I am going to give it a 6 because it's still, yes, we acknowledge it's sweet, but I mean, obviously, if you have a sweet tooth, it's quite nice. I mean, I don't particularly, but you still get the poultry taste, and it's certainly very drinkable. One of the most drinkable beers we've had tonight. It's certainly better than the last one. Certainly. So, yeah, 6 for me. And our final score, go, Grieben, unleash your rant, go.
I pretty much agree. I'd say it was a 5. But too sweet, it should have a more bitter edge for porter, for my personal taste. But I think these 4 beers tonight, my taste buds are absolutely punished. Yeah, they've been battered.
Yeah. It's the American way.
All sides. As always in America, no salty.
No, every kind of beer is the oomph factor. Yeah. Ramp
which
factor.
Is a good thing because it gives us something to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you don't want 4 boring beers, do you?
No, that's true. But my mouth does feel like it's been absolutely destroyed.
To do the rest.
But these 4 beers.
Used to go on holiday to Spain for a while.
Okay, that was Sierra Nevada Porter, which got a reasonably respectable 53%.
Disappointing.
Which one won on the evening?
Oh, Liberty Ale.
Liberty Ale,
76, which is...
Actually, having started off slightly disappointed by it, it's been my favourite on the evening.
So that is now comfortably in our top 10, I would think, although maybe by the time this goes out, something might have displaced it. Anyway, that was our American beer episode. Thank you for tuning in. Any last comments for anybody?
I've ranted enough for one day, I think.
No, that's it.
Okay, well, on that note, we will see you in a couple of weeks. I don't know where we'll be next, but I'm sure it'll be maybe slightly...
Probably
less.
Here. Probably.
It'll be here, but yeah. Not sure.
Back
be drinking.
In the UK, no doubt.
I would think so, probably. Thank you very much to Shovels and to Grant and to Craig for his way with words. Is that right? In the meantime, if you'd like to email us, you can do so at thebeercast@googlemail.com. And you can go to our blog, which is beercast.blogspot.com. And as Andy always says, but I always forget, you can go to our iTunes page and leave us a rating. In the meantime, we will see you again in a few weeks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Enjoy your beer. And now a Top Gun treat.
Pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded Top Gun treat.
That's all right.
Oh. Poor old goose, eh?